This is Victory House.
All right, let's go into the Word of God this morning as God is going to instruct us in another direction or in line with what we've been talking about called a new thing. I want you to say loud and clear, say, in my life, I will experience the hand of God that causes things to turn around. My experience in this season is a new thing, in Jesus' name. All right, for a text this morning, let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43, we've been reading this almost every Sunday since we've been talking about this. Isaiah 43, from verse 18 downwards. Isaiah 43 from 18. The Bible says here, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Verse 19, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth." Can somebody say it? Now it will spring forth. Then he goes on, he says, "Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Can I speak to three people who will take it this morning? What man told you that was impossible? What man told you will take forever, will take time? What man told you that you had come too late for? I believe with you this morning that the God that spoke here, saying he will do a new thing, will visit you in the name of Jesus. I've reintroduced God to us in this whole teaching, telling us that there are things that you don't have to put in the category of God. And one of such things is impossible. I know that sometimes as human beings, we want to rationalize and bring everything into perspective and say, well, I don't want to deceive myself. I don't want to get my hopes high. But God is still in the business of turning impossible things to possible. God is still changing things that doctors have said is not possible. God is still changing things that, legally speaking, was not possible. God is still rewriting story, and yours is the next is rewriting in Jesus' name. So in this teaching that we've been talking about, it started from verse 18, and he told us here, this is God himself speaking to us, and God is saying here, do not remember the former things. I want you to not consider the former thing. In essence, I don't want you to settle. One of the greatest undoing to many people is that we soon settle. Man is a little bit adverse to change. We don't like change. We want everything to be normal, and many things are on the other side of change. Many great things. In fact, what we call birth, what we call somebody giving birth, is disruption to a normal flow. When there is normal flow, a woman will not get pregnant. But when there is an aberration, if there's something that stops or changes the normal flow, then maybe pregnancy happens. So, ladies and gentlemen, what God is saying in this scripture is this: don't settle for less. Don't settle for the fact that where you are is where you are. Where you are today is where you will be tomorrow. Don't settle for the small comfort you have. One of the things that the devil likes to do is this: the devil knows that with God there are better things. So sometimes he introduces people to good things. So many of the time, the enemy of better things is not bad things, it's a good thing. There are people that the reason why they can't flow and jump into the things that God has called for them is that they had something that looked like it, but it's not it. There are business people, there are entrepreneurs, there are inventors, and the only thing that has kept them not inventing is a job. J-O-B. Should I say the other meaning? Some people say it's just over broke. There are so many people, if not for the job. And sometimes the prayer you can pray for some people is that the comfort they are holding on to, God takes it away. You know that when Jesus was about to leave, Jesus told them, he said, stay together in the upper room, pray, let the Holy Spirit come. When the Holy Spirit come, you will be my witnesses. Acts chapter 1. You'll be my witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. That was the commandment, or that was the instruction. When the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2, the Bible said they still stayed in Judea. They were not going to leave. They had received the empowerment. They had received the new thing. Something had happened, but they needed to move out of their comfort zone for the fullness of the new thing to happen. So they needed to do something they had not done before. They needed to step out. And that's why that scripture is saying in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18. It says, I don't want you to consider the former things. I don't want you to settle down. I don't want you to stay there. So what did God have to do to get them out of Judea? God sent them persecution. God sent them trouble. God allowed trouble. Because after Acts 2, by the time they start getting to Acts 4, they started getting into trouble with officials. And they kept getting into trouble until that trouble seemed to say, so to say, was pushing them into different places. And in fact, by the time you get to Acts 8, the Bible said, and Philip, who was supposed to just be a deacon, serving tables, he said Philip went to Samaria and the whole city was joyful because one man came. And that was the intention of God. But if they had the comfort, their comfort zone was going to limit the plan of God. My prayer for you in this season, that anything that is making you comfortable, that is debarring you from the fullness of what God has for you, God will shake that boot. I thought I would get it better. Amen. Because there are some things that are comfortable, but those things, they don't help us. And that is because of comfort that people have settled for what is less than what God planned for them. It's because of comfort that people have settled down and lived even in places that God did not plan for them. You know, when we read of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, when God showed up to him and told him, he said, leave your father, leave your family and go to a land that I will show you. You know, recently I was just asking in my spirit that why will God tell Abraham to leave to a land that God will show him? Why didn't God say, Abraham, leave to this land that I have shown you now. Give him the land while he's there. And God said, many of the times, the fullness of what I have to do for you, if I tell you, you will not move. If I let you know some of the things, most of the things I will do with you, many people will do like Jonah. They will run away. They will go the other way. I'm one of those kind of people. Some of the things that I've seen me do now, if God told me exactly everything before now, I would have run like 200 miles, 300 miles away from the things God wanted me to do. But little by little, he unfolds them. You do one little thing, then it leads to another big thing. You do one little thing, then it leads to another big thing. So you take one step and that step leads you to another step that leads you to another step until you get into the fullness of God. My prayer for somebody listening to me this morning is God will lead you to take one step that will lead you to more steps in the name of Jesus. So settling for less has accounted for all kinds of things. And as I was saying about the story of Abraham, in that Genesis 12, God had called Abraham and told him to go to a place that he was going to show him. And the reason God told him, he will show him the places so that Abraham does not chicken out. And understand that Abraham was not the first person that God spoke to. His father in Genesis 11 had also tried to go to Canaan's land, that same land that Abraham went to. So the agenda for Canaan's land had always been in the plan of God. The Bible did not record that God spoke to Terah, the father of Abraham, but I suspect that he knew somehow that there is a destiny calling for them in the other side of town. There is a destiny in Canaan's land that God had for his descendant that he needed to move to. But somehow he settled in a comfort zone. I'm praying for you in every area where you have settled, God will wake you up in the name of Jesus. So one of the greatest things you can do for yourself is to be dissatisfied. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that we should not be grateful. I believe in being grateful to God. I believe in being saying, God, this is how far you have helped me, and I am thankful. But there is no reason why you should limit yourself because of the things that have been done. There's no reason why you should limit yourself because of the things that you have seen. Because God has a better agenda for you. God has a better agenda for you than what you are experiencing now. And that's why his instruction to you this morning is that don't be satisfied. I want you to tell yourself, say, I won't be satisfied with anything less than the fullness of God. Say it loud again. Say in the name of Jesus, I declare that my path is like the path of the righteous person that shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day in the name of Jesus. So my admonition from that verse 18 to you this morning is be interested in more. Be interested in more. There is something about you and I getting to that place and saying, this is not it. I am not there yet. This is not it. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible told us about the people in the hall of fame, or hall of faith. And the Bible said one of the things that moved them was that they were desirous of a better place. They were looking for a land whose maker and builder is God. There was something moving them. There was some level of dissatisfaction that was on the inside of them. They were not easily contented people. They were not contented with mediocrity. They were not contented with the fact that they can feed. You remember that story of that guy that the Bible calls foolish in the Bible? The guy that had his barns full. The Bible said he had all kinds of things, and he told himself, he said, relax. I will tell my soul, relax. And I will just sit on all that I have done. And God, the Bible said God was angry with him. Why was God angry with the guy when the guy was saying, I will tell my soul to relax? Because many times God wants to do things for you that is beyond you. One of the reasons many people get settled and comfortable is because they are thinking of themselves alone. If it was only about you, maybe where you are now is okay. If all of life was about you, you can feed yourself now. Having clothes for yourself is not a big deal. But what God wants to do is beyond you. What God wants to do is that you will become a blessing. Remember, that's what he told Abraham. He told Abraham, he said, I will bless you and you will become a blessing. So my agenda for you, the reason I'm pushing you, the reason I'm taking you beyond your comfort zone is because my agenda for you is beyond you. God wants you to be something or someone that he will use to bless other people. Can somebody say amen to that? So you have to be dissatisfied. This morning, as we end the month of August, as we're talking about this new thing, a new thing is possible when we are dissatisfied. You are angry against the status quo. You are not happy with the status quo. If you read through the Bible, many miracles, the beginning of those miracles is dissatisfaction. It was the prayer of Jabez that drew him out of that problem, but it was the dissatisfaction of Jabez that made that prayer potent. There is something about a dissatisfied person. There is something about somebody who is like, this has to change. I am tired of being tired. The way that person will approach God will be different. I can imagine Jabez, he just came to himself and said, what kind of life is this? Why am I at the mercy of what has happened before me? I was not there when my mother met my father. It was not my fault. And they now named me child of sorrow. And Jabez said, no, this has to stop. So there is something about dissatisfaction. Remember even Jacob in Genesis, I think 32, or maybe from Genesis 28, 30, 32. The Bible said that Jacob was left alone with the angel because Jacob was tired. He was tired of his lifestyle, the way his lifestyle had been going. And the Bible said, because of that fact, he wrestled with an angel. And the angel said, leave me, let me go. And he said, no, you will not go
unless you bless me. Sometimes when I read scriptures like that, I try to play an advocate. I'll just say an advocate. I won't say the other advocate as some people try to play. But I try to think like this. I'll try to say, if Jacob did not do that, would Jacob have eventually become the Jacob that he became? You know that before this time that Jacob wrestled with this angel, he had the blessing. Jacob had been blessed above Esau. But somehow he was still limited. And the Bible said he wrestled with this angel until the point where the scripture says that the angel said, okay, what's your name? And then the angel changed his name. So there is some level of dissatisfaction that provokes the supernatural. There is some level of desire and the fact that, look, today is my day. Let me tell you this. God is all powerful. God can do everything. But what he does per time is connected to what you receive or what you can take. Remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood too. Scripture talks about her. Scripture says that she had decided in her heart that she was going to get something. She had told herself that enough is enough. She had been coping with it for 12 years. There are people listening to me this morning. You have been coping with things for quite a bit. But God's word to you this morning is that be dissatisfied. And your dissatisfaction will lead to miracles in the name of Jesus. Is it not dissatisfaction that is also the recipe or the reason why there are many innovations? Dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction. The guys that made the plane, the Wright brothers, they just saw that they could throw things up and, you know, it looked like it flew. And they look at the birds and they're like, it should be possible for human beings to fly like the birds. And there were people that told them that, look, what was the problem? We have cars, we have this, we have that. And I'm sure people have talked them out of it. That, is there any need for that? But they were dissatisfied. There are people listening to me this morning. There are people, you have some ideas and you have told some people, and some people will tell you something like, is there any need for that? Do we need more of that? Do we need another blog? Do we need another book? Do we need another fashion line? Do we need this? Do we need that? But you need to understand that every innovation, somebody will just be dissatisfied. Somebody will just say, it is possible for something better. It is possible for us to have a better thing. I remember when we were in school, they taught us about the fact that when Bill Gates went to meet some folks in IBM and was giving them the idea of personal computer, that every home will have a computer. Some people told him that's a wishful thinking. That's too much. That's too far-fetched. Why would you want people to have computers in their home? What do they want to do with it? Computers are for research. Those days, computers will be big as this room. And even this room will just be the processing center. And then they will go and be picking the job somewhere on the other side of the street. They will load cards into it. They call it punch cards. And those punch cards will be sounding like sawmill. So very, very loud things and all that. But the story was that, forget about it. But he was dissatisfied. And the rest, like they say, is history. Now today, most people listening to me, the phone that you are using to type, you know, I hope you are typing the word of God. Amen. But that phone is stronger and bigger than the computer that even Bill Gates did the first time. The first computer that they started working with when they started all this personal computer. So what am I trying to say this morning? I am trying to say that there is something about dissatisfaction. And my prayer for you this morning is that God will make your dissatisfaction level go up in the name of Jesus. And what God will do with that is that it will provoke the next thing. It will provoke a new thing in your life in the name of Jesus. So there's always room for improvement. In Luke chapter 15, we read of a story. If you read from verse 11 to 32, Luke 15, 11 to 32, is the story of the prodigal son. But from verse 17 particularly, we see how a new thing began or happened to that boy. This guy had taken all that he had collected his inheritance from his father. And the Bible said he messed it up and wasted it and things went south for him. But somewhere along the line, some level of dissatisfaction came and he started to tell himself that I can be better than this. He started to tell himself that something can happen to me that can take me beyond this place. Something can happen that it can be better than this. And in verse 17, the Bible says, and when he came to himself, or when he came to that point where dissatisfaction got to its peak, he said to himself, how many hired servants in my father's house have enough bread to spare and I perish with hunger? My prayer for you this morning is that you will come to yourself in the name of Jesus. Something will happen to you. The Spirit of God will move upon you and it will bring you to yourself in the name of Jesus. So he came under an influence. And then that's where I want to zero it on this morning. There was an influence that led him to make a move, and that move led to a completely new prodigal son. There was an influence. And every man, every woman, if you want to experience the new thing, you need to have influences on your life. Sometimes in scripture we call the spirit. You know, sometimes when you read in scripture, you read the spirit generically, but sometimes it's not the spirit of God per se, but it's just a dimension of the influence of God upon your life. Look at the scripture. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. You can see that it's in lowercase. It's not the spirit of God, but of power, or but of the spirit of power, but of the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. Or if we change the word influence, spirit there for influence, God has not given us the influence of fear, but the influence of power, but the influence of love, and the influence of a sound mind. Ladies and gentlemen, anything God has called you to do, this component that you see in this scripture, if you manage it well, especially after the birth, if you manage it well, that there's the influence of power, that there's the influence of love, that there's the influence of a sound mind, I guarantee you, your success will be inevitable. And I'm declaring over somebody listening to me this morning, that's going to be your story in the name of Jesus. So everything, I said it last week, maybe in a different way, that life happens twice. There is a spirit dimension, or there is an influence dimension that we cannot see with our natural eyes. There is a dimension of life that is beyond the five senses, that is beyond human eyes, and that dimension controls what you see. So in this scripture, the Bible is telling us that one of the things that control what we see is an influence of fear. Is an influence of, I can't move, I am incapacitated. Is an influence of, if I move to the other side, what is on the other side will consume me. It was the thing that kept the prodigal son not to call his father, because the influence was this, or the voice in his head was this: you have gotten all your inheritance from your father, and that's all. But he did not know that there was more. In fact, the response he got from his father was surprising to him. He did not know his father was going to respond that way. And there are many people listening to me this morning. The reason why we are not moving forward, the reason why we are still dwelling in the hole, the reason why we are still holding on to the power, is because we are under this influence called fear. We are under the influence of fear. Sometimes people will know that it's fear because maybe their heart will be beating a little faster. Sometimes people will not know that it's fear. They will just think that I am careful. Some people will just say, I like to be very thoughtful. I like to be very careful. But when being careful has led you to stay on the same spot for too long, that care is not just care. It is fear. That's what Paul was telling this young man. Timothy at this time was about to be the pastor of a church. He was, in fact, history tells us that he was a young man. And so, naturally speaking, he will have fear. There will be some timidity there. There will be some level of, can I do this? And there is nothing wrong in being able to understand your limitations. But there is something wrong if that limitation now limits you from surging ahead to what God has called you to do. Because many of the times, the devil will remind you what you cannot do because of the limitation. But can I tell you this? Before God came to you, before God assigned you to be the one that would do that thing, he knew that limitation. I remember several years ago when I was praying and I just asked God, what do you want me to do? And God asked me to join the Sunday school department. Now, at this time, I was a very shy person. Sometimes, well, I was going to say, I think I'm shy. Some people will not agree with that. But sometimes there's some level of shyness still there. But this time it was a lot. I mean, I was super shy. Super, super shy. I was so shy that if people came to our house, and my dad and my parents have been church people for a long time, so our house was always helping people. If people came to our house, I would go and hide because I don't want to say good afternoon. And you know, from African parents, you always greet everybody. Everybody is your relation, even if you don't know them. You know, go and greet auntie, go and greet uncle. You know, that's what they do. So I would go and hide. So when God suggested to me that I would do Sunday schools, and Sunday school then you will speak to a class, a small class, and afterwards they will do revision, and sometimes you will speak to the whole church. So I thought, no, God does not know this. He does not know that I'm a shy person. So I told God that, God, don't you know that I'm a shy person? And God led me to read the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 4. The Bible said concerning Moses, Moses was telling God, God, I can't go and speak to Israel because I stammer. And God, I'm sure God would have chuckled or laughed and say, oh, seriously? I didn't know that before. Now that's news to me. I didn't know that you stammer. I didn't know that, oh, there was a documentation issue. I did not know that you didn't read that in school. And God would just smile. Before, don't you know that you are an answer to prayer? Moses, before Moses was born, God sent Moses as an answer. So when Moses now came and God is speaking to him, God is telling him what he had already concluded. And Moses was now passing information to God, and I'm sure God was smiling. And I'm sure some of us have been in that place. And the reason why many of us have those excuses and all of that is that because of this limitation, because you have been around this, it has created timidity. It has created fear. It has created some kind of trepidation. You know that many of the times, when it comes to economy, when it comes to many things, what makes people fail is timidity, is fear. I mean, if you've been following some of this whole trade war thing that our president is pulling with China and all of that kind of thing, and then you see people selling stocks, selling things. Things are not yet bad. The trade war, the trade issue, they've not even implemented it. They are putting it, I think the last time I read, it was December something. And people are already panicking, not because the thing had happened, but the fear that it will happen. Most of the time, like somebody said, he said, fear is false evidence appearing real. Most of the time, fear is not real, it's a shadow. That's why the psalmist said, even though I walk through the what? Shadow of death, I will fear no evil. My prayer for you in this season is the name of Jesus. Everything that is making you fearful, everything that is making you timid, let them hear the word of God and be banished in the name of Jesus. So in this 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 7, the Bible gives us a recipe here, and let's close with that. It says, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Then he now says, God has given us a tool to undo fear, or he has given us some tools to undo fear, because fear is what will not make you experience the new thing God wants to do. Because you see that, consider not the former things, behold, I will do a new thing. Considering that former thing is fear that makes you do that. So how do you move past fear? I said a little bit last week, and let me say some few things this week. And what we see in that scripture is this. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He said power first, but I will talk about love first. He said he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, the spirit of power, or the influence of power, and the influence of love. God has given us the influence of love to shut the mouth of fear. One of the things you can do with fear is to receive the love of God, is to appreciate and understand and get established in the love of God, and get established in the fact that I serve a God that loves me. Even if I take the example of speaking, public speaking, for example, there are people that will tell you, I don't do public speaking, I can't speak in public. But you know the truth, the thing behind public speaking is this. Most people can't speak to people they don't know. It's not that they can't speak. If they go and speak to friends, some of these same people that cannot speak in the public, they'll be very vocal, they'll be very articulate. So what happens is that they cannot speak where there is absence, or where they are not convinced that these people that I'm speaking to love me. So if I come and I'm speaking to people and they're looking at me like, impress us. Just like what happens to pastors, right? They're just looking at you like this, like, say something to me now that will impress me. And then you say something, you laugh. And they're like, what's funny now? Then what's funny now? Then you are. But if you are speaking to people that you know love you, it's like when I'm speaking at home, you know, or I'm speaking with friends. Sometimes I can preach a better sermon, so to say, with friends, because I feel love. There is some level of love. And this is what God was now telling, Paul was now telling Timothy in this scripture. He said, look, you are going to be the pastor of this church. You are going to start this business. You are going to do this new thing that God has for you. You need to understand that fear will want to hold you down. Answer fear with the spirit of love. It's an answer. You can sit in the love of God to the point that that love will shut down fear. It will cast down fear. It will swallow fear. It will let fear die. Because there is something about somebody who knows he's loved. When my children want to approach me because they have settled the issue of love, they talk to me boldly. I will know if you understand the love of God when I hear you pray. Sometimes you hear some people pray and you are like, this is not prayer. I don't know what to call this, but this is not prayer. This is just fear spitting itself out. Because they are just praying. They are just saying so many words. And you are like, excuse me. You are speaking to somebody that knows more than you. And you are talking like this. And all these things you are even saying, you don't believe it in your heart. Because you have not come to the conclusion that God loves me. That God has me in mind. That God loves me now. Can somebody say it loud and clear? Say, God loves me now. There are people that believe in the love of God to an extent, but they believe it on a particular day. They believe it when something else happens. But where I am now, I don't think it is there. That is what was happening to the prodigal son. The prodigal son was eating pig's food because for some reason he had concluded that I have blown with my father and I have blown the love away. So I can't go back there. But something came to him, like it will happen to somebody this morning. He came to his senses, and the Bible said, because he came to his senses, he just realized that my father is not that bad. He may not bring me to the status, which is another problem. He didn't know that his father was that good, that he can bring him, even though he had gone far, he can bring him back to the level of sonship. If you are here this morning, it does not matter how far you have gone, God can still bring you back home. In the name of Jesus. So, the spirit of love, or the influence of love, is a major thing. If there is nothing you understand about the Christian faith, please understand the influence of love. The Bible said that was the only influence that made Jesus to die. John chapter 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It was love. It was an influence. It was what drove him. Love can drive people just like hatred can drive people. Terrorism is a spirit. That is why the United States have not been able to control it. Because when we are dealing with international terrorists, local terrorists, in fact, now the local terrorism is more dangerous than international, because hate is a spirit. Love is a spirit. It's an influence. It can move people. I don't know if some people that have been drunk before, they will know some of these things. I have not quite been drunk before, at least drunk in the natural. But some people that have been drunk will know this. You will do things that you don't normally do. You will see some drunk people, they will see this place now. They will say, this, I'll jump this bar. Then the guy will now go like that. He wants to just walk on this one. Why? There's an influence. Something is moving him. Something is moving him. Hatred is an influence. If there is anything in your life that is helping hatred to grow, kill it. Look at your neighbor, say, if there's anything in your life that is helping hatred to go, it's killed right now in Jesus' name. Hatred is a spirit, just as love is a spirit. It's an influence. It can move you. It can help you to do things. Love of God and love for God. That love of God, understanding that love God loves you, and you now loving him back in returns. I like this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, or in other ways, new things are still possible. 1 Corinthians 2, not 12. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. Or put it all together, we have not seen it before. A new thing is still available, but it's available on the platform of love. He says, I have not seen, ears have not heard, it hasn't come to understanding of men what God had prepared for them that love him. So if there is anything you can do in your life and I can do in my life, I receive the love of God and I allow the love of God to flow. Because when you have that, according to what Paul was talking to Timothy with in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, God didn't give you the spirit of fear. But you see, if you allow the spirit of love to operate, it will shut down fear. Then he now talks about the fact that also God gave us the spirit of power. God gave us the spirit of power. The influence of power is major. And that's why you want to come to enforce. Can I tell you the truth? You can do everything in the natural. Sometimes you just need a higher power. There is something. Power in this kingdom is real. And power, even we know in our normal life, that power can make things happen easier. Imagine some of you, most people here will, because I see a lot of people with African descent. The man that wants to cut grass and gets what they call a cutlass, I don't even know if they sell that around here, but whatever, you know, there's this manual thing that you use to beat the grass and then it cuts grass. And the guy that brings a lawnmower, they will spend time, but one person will not only spend time, he will spend himself. The other person will only spend time, and because of power, because the lawnmower is a powered cutlass, it will do a better job. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to experience new thing, if I want to experience new thing, like Paul was telling this guy, Timothy, that you will shut down fear, and the avenue of shutting down fear is the spirit of love. You will allow the love of God to flow through you and in you, and you will also engage the spirit of power. You will engage the influence of power, because there are some things that will not bow until you introduce power to it. You can't just speak and some things will happen. There needs to be a backing of power. That's why Jesus told the disciple in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Remember that the disciple before Acts chapter 1 verse 8, before that statement, had been with Jesus. Even at some time, they had cast out devils. In Luke chapter 10 and 19, the Bible said he gave them powers to cast out evil spirits. But it seemed as if they had the power as a lunar battery. But Jesus was now telling them, I want you to install a generator completely, because you need uninterrupted power supply. What you have been experiencing while I was here with you was I was giving you lunar battery to power you up once in a while. But now you need power. He told them that. He said, you are not going to be effective in what you want to do. You will not be able to witness. Witness there means that you will talk about Jesus, but witness also means that you will make it true that Jesus is alive. There are so many of us, our life is a false witness to Jesus because of lack of power. our lives will look like a dream. We will only be coming to church and doing church as usual, except there be a demonstration of power. And I'm believing God, in this last week of August, there will be a demonstration of power in your life in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Psalm 24:10, Psalm 24:10, it says, if you fail in the day of adversity, the reason is not because the failure was inevitable. It was a power failure. So that means that many people are failing today, not because, oh, because it's the country, because it's that exam, or because it's that my wife, or because it's that my teacher. The Bible said, if you fail in the days of power, it is a failure issue. Is that Psalm 24? I got the wrong one. I think it's 34:10 then. Huh? Somebody said something. If you fail in the days of power, please let me get that scripture. If you fail in the days of power, if you fail in the day of adversity, little is your strength. If you fail in the day of adversity, little is your strength. So many people, you will see them, the reason why they are experiencing failure, it is not because failure is inevitable. It is not because failure is possible. It is because failure, there is a power failure. Oh, excuse me, it's Proverbs. I said Psalms. Because there is a power failure. So, ladies and gentlemen, why we come to church, why we pray, why we do the things of God, why we hang around God is so that the power that is available in Him will be available in us, will be available in our lives. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing you can't succeed with. There are things that you are doing now, you think the thing is the problem. It's a lack of power. If another person, if somebody that has something on him touches that same thing, that your same thing, it can go viral. The McDonald's, the company called McDonald's today that we know about, it was not started by the person that made it famous. In fact, that guy almost rewrote, he wanted to rewrite history, but he couldn't eventually rewrite it because he was almost claiming that he was the one that started it. But he wasn't the one that started it. It was some brothers that started McDonald's. Their last name was McDonald's. But this guy came to them and introduced a concept and told them, we can take this thing viral, we can do more. And the guy said, no, we cannot do that. Then he somehow entered into some partnership with these guys. They signed some documents, and long story short, he kicked those guys out of McDonald's. He even took the name. And those guys went to do another hamburger company, but he did not succeed very well. Now this guy, you know, I'm not endorsing his practices, that did whatever he did, now took this company and took it all over the world. Literally all over the world. Why? There are things that come on people. There are people, even in the natural, that they won't know. They will handle the same thing that has failed in some other people's hand, and it will succeed. My prayer for you in this season, that the power of God, the power of the Most High, will come afresh on you in the name of Jesus. And in that scripture that we've read, 2 Timothy 1:7, he said, when fear is swallowed up by the ministry of love, by the ministry of power, and he said, there will now be sound mind. You will now be able to translate what God wants to do into the now. There are many people, and I like that prayer that you prayed, sir, that God will open our eyes. There are many people, the things God wants to do for them, it's as if they are seeing men as trees. It's vague. It's not crystal clear. Things are not coming together in the way they should come together. And the Bible is saying, if we are able to engage the spirit of power, the spirit of love, what will happen, the final end of all of that, will be that we'll experience sound mind. Experience sound mind. If there is anything that the body of Christ needs today, is the experience and the ministry of a sound mind, where we are not just spiritual people, but we are people such that we download spiritual realities and turn them into physical realities. We're not just shouting church on Sunday, and Monday to Saturday we are just mediocre people. Let's get dissatisfied, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not consider the former things. Let's not sit down with, this is big deal. Let's not sit down with, we had an experience of God. We had the move of God. Let us take the move of God into Monday. Let us take it to Tuesday. Let us take it to Wednesday.
Let us take it into all our week.
In the name of Jesus. I want you to speak to God this morning.
I don't know what he told you while I was speaking, but I hope he told you something. And I want you to use that as your prayer to him. Somebody, maybe God is pushing you and saying you are too comfortable. Or somebody, God is saying, no, you need to be dissatisfied. So you are going to say to God, Lord, I receive the anointing for dissatisfaction. Or somebody may be saying, oh, it is fear, the spirit of fear. There is an influence of fear in my life. And I attack it with the spirit of love this morning. I attack it with the spirit of power. There is a new power coming upon me. And it translates me, making me enjoy sound mind. I have a sound mind. I'm operating with an accurate mind, the mind of Christ, the mind that is able to translate spiritual realities into physical realities, the mind that is able to make the new thing God said in the spiritual realm to come into the physical realm. I take that this morning. That's my experience. God be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. If you said you will do a new thing, you have already done it. We are the one to manifest that new thing. Everything that is stopping that new thing that you are doing, whether it's fear, whether it's lack of revelation of love, whether the absence of power, Lord, this morning, let it be rectified in the name of Jesus. Let all these your children begin to operate on the new frequency of sound mind. Lord, in the name of Jesus, everything that has affected their mind, whether it be something that had been done in the time past, whether it be something that is happening now, whether it's a demonic influence, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command this morning that there be a release of a sound mind into your people in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, we pray.